Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast. We're online at soundcheck.org.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. The blues had a huge influence on a whole generation of rock guitarists, many of whom would go on to be the pillars of rock and roll in the 60s. Eric Clapton, Jimmy Page, Jeff Beck. But how many people remember the name Mike Bloomfield? Not nearly enough, according to Rolling Stone senior editor David Frick. David wrote a piece for the most recent edition of the magazine detailing why Mike Bloomfield is rock's greatest forgotten guitar hero. David Frick, welcome back to Soundcheck.
Thank you very much.
So, in a nutshell, who was Mike Bloomfield?
Mike Bloomfield was the first guitar hero. At a time when Eric Clapton was essentially still learning his craft, still figuring out how to take the power of rock, the power of the British invasion as he grew up with it in Britain, and apply it to Robert Johnson, to Albert King, to Buddy Guy, Mike Bloomfield was already there. He grew up in Chicago. He was born there in the suburbs, had spent time in the early 60s in the black clubs. He was befriending people like Sleepy John Estes, Big Joe Williams. Muddy Waters was his friend. Howlin' Wolf would call him up to jam. This is all in 62 and 63, before Eric Clapton was even on record. So Bloomfield was actually finding a way to take the rock and roll he loved, the instrument that was really almost an extension of his personality, and applying it to this music that had so much mystery and power for him and sensuality, and doing it with a totally unique language. In the story, when I talked to Jimmy Vivino, who plays in the Conan Band, you know, he basically described what is called the Bloomfield tone. Turn up the treble, turn up the mid-range, no bass, all amplify. No pedals, no distortion other than what's natural from the amplifier. And the rest of it comes from the wrists and the heart.
How soon was it before people started cottoning on to what Mike Bloomfield was doing? How long before people like Eric Clapton took notice?
Clapton, in 1966, is quoted as saying, Mike Bloomfield is music on two legs. He had heard the Butterfield records. Dylan's
Paul,
Like a Rolling
Paul
Stone.
Butterfield.
Paul Butterfield's blues band. He had heard Like a Rolling Stone. He had heard Highway 61. He heard what Mike Bloomfield can do on record already. It was astonishing.
So how much of, I mean, the famous Bob Dylan at Newport, the Newport Folk Festival, 1965, plugging and going electric, he's there with him, right?
Bloomfield was there. Bloomfield was at Like a Rolling Stone, which is really the beginning of that seismic moment. You know, Al Kooper talks about walking into the session for Like a Rolling Stone, expecting to play guitar, sits down, unpacks. This kid that he's never met before from Chicago walks in, says, hi, how you doing, unpacks, starts warming up. Cooper says, okay, I'm not doing this. I cannot do what he's doing. To a lot of people, it was as if Bloomfield had flown in from outer space. This whole thing is just happening at such incredible velocity. And all of a sudden, he's there, this, you know, paragon.
So he's
expression.
This Zelig-like character at the birth of several different major trends in 1960s rock music, including being with Dylan at the Newport Folk Festival in 1965. Listen to Mike Bloomfield helping out Bob Dylan on this version of Maggie's Farm.
I ain't gonna
Mike Bloomfield on electric guitar with Bob Dylan. Dylan famously going electric at the Newport Folk Festival in 1965, that performance of Maggie's Farm. We are remembering Mike Bloomfield because David Frick is remembering him. Rock's greatest forgotten guitar hero, as David calls him, for the most recent edition of Rolling Stone. One of the reasons he is forgotten, David, is that he seems to have been allergic to success.
He just had a natural instinct to walk away from something just as it was about to break. Partly, I think, because he didn't want to be imprisoned by it. Mark Naftalin in the piece talks about this almost ritual behavior. As soon as he comes close to something, he turns away. And Cooper tells this story about during the Highway 61 sessions about, Mike, Al Cooper, and Harvey Brooks, the bass player, having dinner. And Mike is saying, well, if Bob forms a band to take this music on the road, you should do it because I'm not.
Mm.
Like, why not? Because he wants to stay with Paul Butterfield. He wants to play blues. And then as soon as Butterfield really hits an incredible peak with East West, this incredible raga jazz interpretation of Chicago blues, he walks away to form ultimately the great American R&B band, the Electric Flag. That record comes out, he's gone by the time the record comes out and, goes on to make half of Super Session.
But before we get to that, you mentioned the Paul Butterfield Blues Band. What was the importance of the Paul, aside from the music itself, the importance of the Paul Butterfield Blues Band in 1960s America?
Paul Butterfield Band was not only authentic Chicago blues, they were the first, I think, serious improvisers. Obviously, the great Chicago bands, all of those people could play. Buddy Guy, an amazing soloist, mm-hmm. Muddy Waters, you didn't want to try and cut him, on a Monday night in Chicago. But with Mike Bloomfield, Elvin Bishop, and Paul Butterfield on harp, the three of those guys were serious explorers.
And when you say harp, you mean the blues?
Harmonica.
The harmonica.
Yes, not the Harpo Marx. They were serious explorers. They were interpolating John Coltrane. They were listening to Ravi Shankar, and they were finding the common ground mm-hmm. with Robert Johnson, with Willie Dixon, and electricity.
And how important was it that this was a black and white mixed band?
It was very rare at that time to have an integrated band. The only other band that could be comparable would be Booker T and the MGs,
mm-hmm.
and they were primarily a rhythm section. They
right.
were a great performing band, but they were primarily a supportive unit.
From the Paul Butterfield Blues Band, once again featuring the great guitarist Mike Bloomfield. Butterfield Blues Band recorded their album East West. That's a little bit of the title track, a kind of, epic length excursion into both blues and Indian raga, and featuring Mike Bloomfield on guitar. David Frick, senior editor at Rolling Stone magazine, has written a profile of Mike Bloomfield for the most recent edition of that magazine, and there's a box set.
Yes.
So there are people beginning to take notice of this overlooked star.
Bloomfield has always been someone who's been sort of on the margins. Robbie Robertson has talked about
him.
Yeah. Carlos Santana talks about him as being a serious primary influence on him when he was growing up in San Francisco because the Butterfield Band played there, Mike moved there. So a lot of the people that we consider guitar heroes now, Clapton, they all worshipped this guy.
He was the guitar hero's guitar hero.
He was the guy before there were guitar heroes.
Yeah.
And he also had a knack for playing with extraordinary musicians. One of the things about East West, when you listen to that, listen to the rhythm section, the bass and drums. It's steady but buoyant,
mm-hmm.
It's like a trampoline. It gives you so much room and so much energy for him to fly in those modal bursts of energy.
Mm-hmm. Speaking with David Frick about Mike Bloomfield, whose career would then eventually wend its way to things under his own name. You alluded before to Super Session, which came out in 68.
1968, yes. Super Session is characteristic of Bloomfield in that it wasn't his idea. It was Al Kooper's idea. Mm. And he thought, you know, Mike had left Butterfield. The Electric Flag had made actually a really good record, but there had been problems within the group, tensions, drugs. Mike leaves before the record's even out. You know, the guy's drifting. So Al decides, you know, this is a guy who doesn't really get along with producers. So I'm just going to put him in the studio. We'll jam. Mm-hmm. You know, it should be the easiest thing in the world.
So yeah. Al is playing keyboards.
Al is playing keyboards. You know, Harvey Brooks is back on bass. Barry Goldberg, who was Mike's friend from high school in Chicago, he's also on keyboards. And so this should be a piece of cake. They go in one night at the end of May. They record five tracks, and Bloomfield splits. He just he doesn't call. You know, Al talks to him. He left me a note. Can't sleep. Went home. You know, leaves Los Angeles, goes back to San Francisco. Cooper has a record to finish. He calls all around town. The only guy who calls him back and says he'll be there is Stephen Stills. That's why Stephen Stills is on side two of Super Session. So here's, and this is a record that ultimately goes top 20. It is the biggest record, the best-selling record Bloomfield ever had under his own name, and he's only on half of it.
He's only on half of it.
I think that says so much about his career drive.
Called Albert's Shuffle from the album Super Session, credited to guitarist Mike Bloomfield, and indeed half of the record at least features Mike Bloomfield on guitar, the other half Stephen Stills, who, as David Frick just told us, filled in when Bloomfield absconded from L.A. and went back home to try and sleep, which was a problem throughout his life and a problem that probably contributed to further, you know, he seems to go from strength to strength until you hit 1970, and then things take a nasty turn.
He was someone who just, he had commitment issues. He continued to play. He actually made, you know, almost a dozen records over the last decade of his life for small labels. He would do these little tours, but his idea of having a career, of having drive, it was either never really there or it just dissipated. The insomnia certainly was a major factor, and the fact that he, to some degree, tried to medicate it mm-hmm. with heroin to bring down that intensity. And Barry Goldberg talks about just the way his brain was on fire all the time. The only way he could sort of turn it off was to literally deaden it. And unfortunately, that cycle took a really tragic toll.
Yeah.
It's worth noting, though, that in basically maybe 3 months before his death, he reunites with Dylan on stage in San Francisco. Dylan brings him on stage to play with him. And that track, one of that tracks, is on the box set. Mm-hmm. And you can hear every gift that the man had was still there. But 3 months later, the man himself was not.
What year are we talking about here?
Well, he died in 1981. This was in the fall of 1980.
Right. The box set is called From His Head to His Heart to His Hands, being released this week. There's also a documentary film related to this project about guitarist Mike Bloomfield. How old was he when he died, and how did he die?
He was 37, and he was found in a car out, and he had died of an overdose.
Heroin.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So where does he belong, ultimately, in the pantheon of rock legends?
Well, I think he belongs in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He isn't there yet. I don't get it, but, you know, he was my first guitar hero. He was the guy that I listened to religiously. I loved Clapton, the Yardbirds, the Velvets, all of that stuff was important to me. But the guy who taught me that the guitar was an instrument of power, expression, and emotion, the first guy to do that was Bloomfield. And the thing that's really amazing about his work, the best and most important work he did, Dylan, Butterfield, The Flag, Super Session, he did it all in 4 years.
Hmm. Well, Soundcheck listeners, check out our website, soundcheck.org, for a link to David Frick's list of essential listening from guitarist Mike Bloomfield. David Frick is senior editor at Rolling Stone magazine and wrote about Bloomfield for the most recent edition of Rolling Stone. David, good to see you again.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Thanks for listening. Stay connected by subscribing to the Soundcheck podcast on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook, and download the new WNYC mobile app for free. See you next time. I'm John Schaefer.
To collect them in.